Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a bassline that doesn't just sit under the drums, it talks back to them. We're going for that pirate radio energy with old school jungle and DNB phrasing, using Ableton Live 12 stock tools only. Now, before you write a single note, get your drums playing first. Set your project around 172 BPM, or anywhere in that 170 to 174 range. Loop up two bars of a breakbeat or a simple DNB drum pattern. Snare on 2 and 4. A bit of kick movement, maybe some chopped break details or ghost notes if you've got them. The reason we start with the drums is simple. In jungle and DNB, the bass line has to answer the groove, not fight it. If your drums already have swing, keep that in mind. If they're still a bit straight, you can add a touch of groove later from the groove pool. For now, just listen to where the snare lands and where the break leaves little pockets of space. Those pockets are where the bass is going to speak. All right, now create a new MIDI track and load operator for a clean sub. If you want a slightly more animated bass, Waveatable works too, but operator is perfect for a solid foundation. Start simple. A sine wave is ideal for the sub, because it gives you pure low-end weight without extra fuzz. Keep it mono. No unison. No wide stereo tricks down here. The sub needs to stay locked in the center. Set the envelope so the notes are tight and musical. Fast attack. Short or medium decay depending on the rhythm. Full sustain if you want held notes, and a tidy release so the notes don't blur together. If you're using Waveatable, you can use a sine or triangle style Waveatable and keep the filter very open or almost off. If you want a little glide between notes, add a small amount of portamento, somewhere in that 40 to 90 millisecond zone. That can give you a proper jungle-style slide without turning the bass into a lead. Now comes the important part, the call phrase. Think of this like the main statement. It should be short, memorable, and confident. Don't overplay it. A strong bass line in DNB is often built from just a few notes that are placed with intention. Try writing a one-bar phrase using the root note, maybe the minor third, the fifth, or an octave jump. If you're working in a minor territory, for example, you might use A, C, E, and maybe a darker passing note like G or G sharp depending on the mood you want. The exact notes matter less than the rhythm and the attitude. And here's a key teacher tip. Don't play space notes on every grid division just because you can. Let the snare breathe. Let the bass hit before the snare, after the snare, or around it. But don't constantly land right on top of the crack unless that's a deliberate effect. In this style, the snare is your anchor. The bass needs to dance around it. So maybe your first bar says, here's the hook. A longer note on beat one, then a short push before the snare, maybe to reply just after the backbeat. Keep it sparse enough that the rhythm feels powerful instead of crowded. That's the vibe we want. More energy pockets, less note spam. Now duplicate that bar and turn the second bar into a response. This is where the conversation starts. The response should feel different, but not random. You can change the rhythm, the pitch ending, the note length, the filter state, or add a small slide. Just change one or two things, not everything at once. A really solid approach is to make the first bar more stable and darker, then make the second bar a bit more animated. For example, bar 1 could hold its shape, and bar 2 could be tighter, shorter, or a little higher in register. That contrast is what makes the riff bounce. It creates that MC-style back-and-forth energy, like the bass is answering the drums with attitude. Now let's add a second layer for character. Duplicate the bass to another MIDI track and use Waveatable or analog for a mid-bass or reese layer. This is where you get motion, grit, and that wider underground texture. But remember the rule. The sub stays clean, and the mid layer carries the movement. For the mid layer, try two slightly detuned saws, light unison if you want it, but keep it modest. 2 to 4 voices max is usually enough. Add a gentle filter, so the tone lives mostly in the low mids and doesn't clutter the whole mix. If you want movement, use a slow LFO on the Waveatable position or the filter cutoff. Something subtle, maybe changing over 1 or 2 bars, so the sound feels alive without sounding like it's wobbling all over the place. Then add a little saturator to the mid layer. Not too much at first, just enough drive to bring out harmonics. You can also use drum bus lightly if you want more edge and punch, but be careful not to wreck the low end. The sub should stay smooth and centered. The mid layer can get rude. At this point, start shaping the groove with note lengths, velocity, and tiny timing changes. This is where the loop starts to feel performed instead of programmed. Shorten some notes, hold others a bit longer, and vary velocity so the pattern has a human push and pull. You do not want everything at the same value, because that makes the riff feel flat. A good working range for velocity might be somewhere around 70 to 110, Depending on your sound and how hard you want it to hit, the first call can be slightly stronger, or the response can be stronger if you want a question and answer effect. Either way, give the ear a reason to hear the second bar as a reply, not just a repeat. If the loop feels too stiff, open the groove pool and try a little swing. Keep it subtle. You're not trying to turn it into a completely shuffled pattern. Just enough groove to make it lean with the break. Around 10 to 25% groove intensity is a good place to start. If your break already swings heavily, use less. Always let the drums lead the vibe. Now test the bass with the drum loop again. This is the moment where you listen like a mix engineer and a dancer at the same time. Does the bass leave space for the snare? Does the kick still punch through? Does the groove feel like it locks into the break, or does it sit on top of it awkwardly? If the bass and snare are fighting, shorten the note, move it slightly earlier, or push it just after the hit. Sometimes moving one note by a tiny amount is enough to make the whole riff come alive. That's one of the biggest secrets in this style. Tiny changes, big impact. If the mid layer is getting too wide or muddy, use utility to keep the low end centered and mono. You can also use EQ8 to clean things up. High pass the mid layer somewhere, around 90 to 140 Hz so it doesn't compete with the sub. If it sounds boxy, dip a little around 200 to 350 Hz. If it gets sharp or brittle, tame the upper mids a bit. The goal is power with control. Now let's add some movement to the response phrase. Automate the auto filter so the response opens a little more than the call. That tiny shift can make it feel like the bass is leaning forward on the second bar. You can also automate a small drive increase on the response or a slight resonance bump on the final note. Again, keep it modest. We want excitement, not chaos. Here's a very useful trick. Resample the bass phrase. Record a 2-bar pass to audio, then chop the best bits into a new clip. You can reverse a hit, stutter a note, or re-trigger the response slightly differently. This is very jungle. A lot of that classic energy comes from resampling and editing, not from pristine MIDI perfection. It gives the line character and a bit of grime. Now, with the loop working, listen for the overall phrase. A strong call and response bass line should feel like it has a sentence structure. The first bar makes the statement, the second bar answers. Then the loop resets and the whole thing pulls you forward again. If both bars are doing the exact same thing, the conversation disappears. If the second bar changes too much, the groove loses identity. You want balance. A good mindset here is to think in energy pockets. Leave deliberate gaps for the break to breathe. If the drums have a busy ghost note run, let the bass get out of the way. If the snare is the loudest thing in the bar, make sure the bass isn't landing right in its path. That's how you get that old-school jungle tension where everything feels urgent but never cluttered. Next, turn the loop into an arrangement idea. This call-and-response approach naturally gives you 2-bar and 4-bar phrasing, which is perfect for DNB. You could start with a filter teaser, then bring in the full riff for the drop. After that, vary the response every 4 or 8 bars. Maybe open the filter a little more, add a new ending note, or drop in a short drum fill. Maybe even mute the bass for half a bar before slamming it back in. That kind of move feels very pirate radio, very live, very in the moment. When you're building the section, think about DJ usability too. A clean intro or outro helps with mixing, and a stable loop gives the tune room to breathe. Then use small variations to keep the drop from sounding looped. One strong version can work for the first 8 bars, then a slightly more animated version can take over in the second half. If you want to push the energy darker, try these moves. Use a muted call and a more aggressive response. Add tiny pitch movement on the response note. Use a slightly darker filter state for the first bar, then open it on the second. Or shift one response hit up an octave for just one note, then drop it back down. That single high poke can make the phrase pop without turning it into a lead line. Also, don't underestimate the power of leaving a little space before the loop restarts. An anticipation note just before beat 1 can make the whole phrase feel like it's pulling into the next bar. That's a classic fast tempo trick. It creates forward motion and keeps the groove from feeling too square. Once you're happy with the MIDI, perform or record a final pass. Print the bass to audio if that helps you commit to the vibe. Add any last automation, like a filter open on the end of an 8-bar phrase or a tiny bump in drive on the final response. If you want, push the bass bus slightly with drum bus, but keep it controlled. Only use limiting if you really need it, and always leave headroom. The big takeaway here is simple. Don't write a bass line as a stream of notes. Write it like a conversation. The drums speak. The bass replies. The call says, this is the hook. The response says, and here is the twist. When you get that balance right, the bass becomes part of the drum programming itself, and that's when jungle and old-school DNB really come alive. So your challenge is to build three different two-bar bass riffs at 172 BPM. Make one steady and rolling. Make one rude and pirate-rated-o. Make one darker and more tense. Use only Ableton stock devices, keep the sub mono. Leave room for the snare, and compare them in mono. Ask yourself which one locks hardest with the break, which one feels the most energetic without getting messy, and which one could survive 16 bars without losing its magic. Pick the strongest one, then turn it into a 32-bar section with at least two small variations. That's the move. Build the conversation, lock it to the break, and let the bass talk back.